بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وصلى الله على محمد وآل محمد. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Brothers and sisters, welcome to another session of Ahkam of the fast of the holy month of Ramadan. As you all know probably, we are covering the rulings regarding the fast of this holy month and just general rules regarding the fast all in all. I'm gonna say this from the start, if I get disconnected, I apologize beforehand, and then I'll just try to come back online as soon as I can. Let's start. If you have any questions regarding what we're covering, what I'm covering today, or previous sessions even, you can ask your questions and just feel free to leave them in the comments section. So we covered last session, we got into the that sleeping after entering a state of janaba or hayd or nifas. I covered that in detail last time, and the rulings in that regard. I'm not going to go back to that at all. It's anyone who needs to can check that out. People who wake up in the middle of the night to find that they have become junub, or husbands and wives who might become junub on the nights of Ramadan, and then they sleep with the intention to, do ghusl when they wake up for sehri or suhoor, and unwillingly, sleep through fajr time. Do they have to make that fast up or not? All of the details of that have been covered in the previous session. You can check, those of you who have any questions regarding that. A question came up that I thought would be good to cover here, brothers and sisters, and that is, someone asked if a sister is ha'id and is in her menstruation period, and then fajr time is coming, like let's say it's like, I don't know, 3 a.m., okay, 2 a.m., let's say midnight even, 12 a.m., and this person, there's a good chance they feel that they're going to become pak, they're going to become tahir, they're going to become free of the hayd and the blood before fajr time. Okay, if a person feels that's going to happen, the question is, if they sleep, so this person thinks 12 o'clock midnight, you know what, I think by fajr time I'm not going to be ha'id anymore, the blood will have stopped and I will have to do ghusl. So this person, 12 o'clock midnight, they're still ha'id. They feel that they're not going to become pak in at 5 a.m. when it's fajr time. They sleep at 12 a.m. only to wake up at 5:30 a.m. and fajr time has come and passed them. Wa alaykum assalam Sayyid Hadi, man amdalam tangi wasat. Only to find that fajr time has come and it passed. Okay, now this sister, she knew she's ha'id at 12 before she slept. She woke up at 5:30. She sees that she's pure of all menstruation and blood of hayd. Question, was she also pure at 5 a.m., which is like, for example, fajr time? That's the question. Should she assume that she became tahir or pure of hayd before fajr time or after fajr time? That's the question. And the answer seems pretty simple for any Hawza students that might be watching, which I know you are. Istisḥāb, right? But I felt like there might be a reason why istisḥāb is not applied here. Anyway, I had to check to make sure about this. That a sister who is ha'id before fajr, but sleeps and wakes up after fajr, and she sees that her period is over, does she assume that she became her hayd finished before fajr or after fajr? She doesn't know exactly what time that happened. The answer is yes. She has to assume that she became pure of hayd after fajr time. So this person won't fast that day, in other words, and will have to make that day up after the month of Ramadan. Okay. That question I thought was a good question someone had asked. All right, let's move on. What do we want to talk about today? Last session, we we started, we moved into the intention of the fast. There are some rules there that people ask about. I think it's a good idea to complete what we started. What did I talk about last time when it comes to the intention of the fast? What I spoke about last time was the niyyah and the intention for the fast in the holy month of Ramadan. So we have different categories here, brothers and sisters. What we have is either we're going to be discussing different categories of intention. Intention in the month of Ramadan, intention for a wajib fast that is mu'ayyan, they say. Mu'ayyan means it's specific. It's for a specific day only. That fast cannot be done on any other day. And I'll explain and give examples as well, inshallah, when we get there. Also, we need to talk about the intention of a fast that's wajib, but it's not mu'ayyan. It doesn't belong to a specific day only. And then we need to talk about the intention for mustahab fasts. And then we will move on to the intention, or excuse me, changing or turning, you know, switching your intention or going against the intention that you have for the fast. Okay. But that's everything I want to cover. And then if we can, we'll move on to the makruhat as well of the fast. All right. So last time I talked about the intention for the month of Ramadan. And that's what we're in right now. We're in the month of Ramadan. The last moment I said that you have for the intention for the month, for the fast of the month of Ramadan, is actual Fajr time. Atul Sistani, he said he had an ihtiyat wajib, that that is the last moment that you can have the intention for the fast. And I explained it thoroughly there. I don't want to get back into it. I'll just say it in a nutshell right now, that when Fajr time arrives, if you haven't had the intention to fast, and Fajr starts right when Fajr time, and in other words, the day starts, if you are refraining from food, drink, and other invalidators of the fast with the intention of, you know, fasting, that's enough, he says. That counts. So that's the last moment a person can have the intention to fast. And I explained it in detail in the previous session. You can check that out if you feel like it's necessary. Although this usually will not come up, brothers and sisters. Usually, we know why we're getting up for Sehri or Suhoor. We know why we're having food at 4 a.m. no one gets up and has a meal at 4 a.m. So a person who gets up for a meal at 4 a.m. knows why they're getting up, and that's to fast. And even a person who's sleeping the night before, they have the intention to fast the next day. So even if they skip suhoor, they're still good. As I said before, brothers and sisters, this intention, we overcomplicate it sometimes. That's not necessary. The way we overcomplicate it, the way we think we have to have a special thing going on in our mind before the day begins so that our fast counts. No, nothing like that really. I explained that also in our last session. But then the question comes up, what if you forget to make an intention, or you didn't even know it's the month of Ramadan, right? So it's the beginning of the month, you're not used to fasting, you just totally forget that it's the month of Ramadan, you just totally forget that you're going to be fasting the next day. You don't have any intention to fast the next day because you don't even think, you totally forgot it's the month of Ramadan. Anyway, in cases like these, he said you have till Dhuhr time to make the intention for the fast. This is if you haven't had any invalidators before Dhuhr time. Wa alaykum as-salam, Brother Akbar. So, that's for a person who's forgotten. If you purposely don't make an intention before Fajr time, then it's going to be problematic. You don't have till Dhuhr time to make up the intention. This is for people who've forgotten totally. Okay? There are different ways you can make an intention for the fast of the holy month of Ramadan. We covered this last week, last session too. Either before the day starts for every day. So let's say, for example, someone, the month of Ramadan arrives, every day before Fajr, they make the intention, okay, today, you know what, I'm going to fast. That counts. Or a person, when the month of Ramadan arrives right in the beginning, has the intention to fast for the whole month. I said this last time, that also counts. Atul Sistani also says that. And we have a verse for that ulama usually base this fatwa on, or might base their fatwa on. فَمَنْ شَهِدَ مِنْكُمُ الشَّهْرَ فَلْيَصُمْهُ. Anyway, in Minhaj al-Salihin, Atul Sistani, he says this, that you can just make the intention in the beginning of the holy month. As I said before, once again, we're not going to overcomplicate things, brothers and sisters. We're not. Look, when the month of Ramadan arrives and you know the month of Ramadan has arrived, you know you're going to be fasting the whole month. It's easy, as simple as that. Alright, so now let's move on into what we want to cover for today. So that was the niyyah and intention for the month of Ramadan. What if it's not the month of Ramadan, but I have a wajib fast, one, that is mu'ayyan, two. Mu'ayyan means specific to a certain day. If I don't do the fast in this day, then I've missed that obligation and there's no way to make it up anymore, as if, because it only belongs to that certain day. What am I talking about? The best example for that is a person who does nadr, you know, vows to Allah that they're going to fast a certain day, either by saying, oh Allah, lillahi alayya, it's wajib on me to fast on, I don't know, what is it today? Today is the 27th of May. Right now it's the month of Ramadan. You can't do another in the month of Ramadan for fast other than the month of Ramadan. So let's just say after Ramadan is over, for example, the 20th of June. The 20th of June, oh Allah, I'm going to do nadr. Lillahi alayya, right? And asum al-ashrin min June. Min shahr June. So this person does nadr to fast on that day. Okay? On the 20th day of June. Alright, when the 20th day of June comes, I have to have the intention to fast that day for it to count. Let's say, okay, so till when do I have to make the intention for that day? Before Fajr time again. Just like the month of Ramadan, you have to have that intention from Fajr time onwards for that fast to be valid. If you purposely don't make that intention, that fast is going to be void. And you're going to have to make that day up, Ayatollah Sistani says. But let's say I forget. I mean, June 20th is way out there. It's like a month from now. June 20th is like a month, a little less than a month from now. And when June 20th arrives, I totally have forgotten that I have to make that day up. You know, I got so carried away with Eid al-Fitr and eating all the good stuff out there. And I'm like, man, alhamdulillah, I'm eating in the day again. And I totally forgot that I had done nadr, that I'm going to fast on June 20th. So June 20th arrives, and it's Fajr time comes, no intention by me. And then 10 a.m., all of a sudden, it strikes me that, whoa, I had done nadr to fast on June 20th. Ayatollah Sistani here, he says that it doesn't matter. Or even if you sleep through the day and you wake up before Dhuhr and you remember you had to make an intention, you had to fast that day because of nadr, he says you can have the intention, make that intention before Dhuhr time. If you don't make the intention, you have to make that day up, and he says do imsak too. Stay away from the invalidators of the fast on June 20th, and you have to make that day up another day. You have to make that day up another day, but it's flexible after that. You can make it up whenever. Okay, so that is the wajib mu'ayyan fast, okay? The fast that is wajib and has a specific time, a specific day that you have to do that fast on. But lots of times we're not dealing with that, except for nadr cases. We are usually, you know, the other wajib fasts that we have on our shoulders are the wajib fasts that don't have a deadline, don't have a specific date that we have to do them. For example, the kafara days or qadha fasts that we do. A qadha fast doesn't have a specific day that it has to happen on, right? It has to happen before I die. Kafara fast, same thing. Now we'll get to the details of that. The kafara and the fidya and the kafara fasts and how long you can put them off and so on. There are some conditions, but there's a lot of flexibility there. Point being, right now, what I'm talking about is these fasts are wajib, but they don't have a specific day that you have to do them on. There's a lot of flexibility there. It's on you. And that's why lots of people who have illnesses maybe cannot fast in the long days of the summer. They don't fast, but then they make them up in the winter because the days are shorter. We have that flexibility. All right, so now, what if I want to fast a wajib fast that doesn't have a specific, it's not a mu'ayyan fast, it doesn't have a specific day that I have to do it on? What is the last moment that I can make an intention for such a fast, right? So the month of Ramadan, for example, ends in the month of June or July after the month of Ramadan. I'm like, you know what? I want to make up that day that I missed in the holy month of Ramadan. So what happens is I wake up 11, 12 a.m. or 12 p.m. in the day. I had no intention to fast that day. But now I notice that, hey, half of the day has passed and I was sleeping. And I didn't have any invalidators of the fast. It was a Sunday. I wasn't going to work. I got to sleep in. Half the day is done. Can I count this as my qada fast? Yeah. Because I didn't have the intention before Fajr time. The answer is, with wajib, that is with a wajib fast that is not mu'ayyan, doesn't have a specific day that you have to do it on, you have till dhuhr time, voluntarily you have till dhuhr time to have that intention for that fast to count. So you don't have to worry about fajr and so on, like the two previous categories, month of Ramadan or wajib that is mu'ayyan. You don't have to worry about it. In those, you had to make the intention before Fajr or before, after Fajr, or at Fajr time at most. But here, you have till Dhuhr time to make that intention and you're good to go. Even if you weren't planning on fasting. So for example, brothers and sisters, you wake up 10 a.m. You're like, man, I'm not going to fast today. Today is still summer, like it's July. I'm not going to make up my Ramadan fast, my Ramadan Qada fast until, like, I don't know, like December. Or February, where the days are short. Yeah. 10 a.m., I have this intention of not fasting. But I haven't had invalidators either. And then 10 a.m. becomes 10:15 a.m. And I'm like, you know what? Let's just fast today. He says, even in this case, you had no intention to fast. No intention at all to fast. But since the intention can go till dhuhr time, voluntarily, you can go till dhuhr time. And have the intention to fast. So those are all the wajib fasts. Wajib fasts are either mu'ayyan or not mu'ayyan. Mu'ayyan wajib fasts are just like the month of Ramadan fasts, where you have to have an intention by Fajr time. Wajib non-mu'ayyan fasts are the ones that you can have an intention for all before Dhuhr time, or by Dhuhr time. Now let's talk about mustahab fast. Now here we have a lot of flexibility. The fasts that are mustahab. And please, if you have questions, ask. Although it's pretty clear what I'm covering, but if you have questions, ask. With mustahab fast, he says, يَمْتَدُّ وَقْتُهُ إِلَى زَمَانٍ يَبْقَى مِنَ النَّهَارِ مَا يَقْتَرِنْ فِيهِ الصَّوْمِ بِالنِّيَّةِ. Mustahab fast is awesome when it comes to intention. If you have slept all the way till, let's say Maghrib time is 8:30, you slept till 8:29 and you woke up, right? You slept, I mean, mashallah, that takes a lot of tawfiq to be able to sleep that long, right? But let's just say you slept from Fajr time all the way till close to Iftar time and you wake up in a day in July, for example, where it's not the month of Ramadan and you don't have any wajib fasts on you either, right? Because that's a condition for mustahab fast, that you don't have any wajib fast on you. Qada fast, excuse me. Wajib qada fast on you. You wake up at 8:29, you're like, hey, you know what? Let's make some, let's get some cheap thawab here. Easy thawab. Hashtag easy thawab. So 8:29, you make the intention for a mustahab fast, because you haven't had any invalidators throughout the day either. It's good, it's all good. You fasted 1 minute, but you got the thawab and reward for a whole day. That's how it works. Yes. So that's the last moment you can have. The last moment you can have an intention for a mustahab fast is all the way before sun, before the day ends. Before the day ends. I said before iftar. I'm sorry. I have to correct myself. Before ghurub, he says. Before the day ends. All right. So that's everything regarding the intention, when I have to make an intention. Hadi Rizvi says, but you didn't pray Dhuhr and Asr. Well, in that day, you have a mustahab, a fast in your report card, but also you have a Dhuhr salat that you missed, and you have to quickly do your asr in that 1 minute that you have. At least do one rak'ah before the before sunset, or before the day ends, or whatever the time is for where your salat becomes qada. Yeah, you have to do your asr prayer because that's the waqt makhsus al-asr. You don't have time for dhuhr anymore, and you have to make up asr dhuhr later. Brother Asad Hussein says, repel the sins with mustahabbat. But it's not a sin, Asad. It's not a sin because it wasn't on purpose that you missed Dhuhr and Asr. So, yeah. Okay, you guys are getting into like some things that never come up. Okay. Yeah, do tayammum and get one rak'ah within the time. In the time of ada'a time. Okay, okay, we're done with that. Let's move on. I have some questions that I want to cover. But before that, let's move on to Masala 1943 in Risale Tawzi'ul Masail al-Jami'. Here he talks about turning away, or let's call it invalidating your intention, breaking your intention. What am I talking about here? Sometimes people will, you know, even in the month of Ramadan, for whatever reason, they will have the intention to break their fast. They're like, you know what, I just don't want to fast anymore. No, I didn't, Asad Hussein. Asad Hussein says, Shaykh, you just gave a green light to everyone to sleep through Fajr guilt-free. Who said I said that? No. That itself is another story. If I can sleep through Fajr without setting an alarm, we have to see. There's some details there. Our ulama have said that if it reaches a point that you are being careless about your salat, that might be a problem. Even if you were asleep, sometimes you have to try to wake up. So Dhuhr and Asr, that example that we were talking about, is if that person, you know, isn't purposely doing that. There are details though I'm skipping right now. I don't want to get into this. This is a whole maybe can of worms that I don't want to open right now. Anyway, what was I talking about? You guys throwing me off like that. I was talking about, yeah, breaking your intention. Okay, Sister Zahra bint Muhsin has a real question. Let's address that before I move on into breaking your intention. Salam, I used to think, wa alaikum as-salam, I used to think that I could double up my niyyah, so I used to do my qada fast on Monday and Thursday so that they get the blessings of mustahab too. Would I need to make up those fasts? Well, it depends. What was your intention? At the end of the day, I think your intention was to do a qada fast, right? But you were doing it on Monday and Thursday also with the intention that inshallah I get the rewards for those special days, right? If that's what you had in mind, you're perfectly fine, sister. Don't worry about it. Okay? But if a person has a qada fast and then they have the intention of doing only a mustahab fast, that won't count towards their qada fast. And I highly doubt that was your intention, Sister Zahra. So you're good, inshallah. Let me know if it was clear or not, so that if it's not, I explain a little bit more. Hopefully it's clear. All right. Breaking your intention. Going up against your intention, brothers and sisters. In the month of Ramadan, sometimes people will, or even outside the month of Ramadan, in a wajib fast that they're doing, a qada fast that they're doing, they might have the intention to break their fast. Okay, so they have that intention to break their fast. A lot of people don't know. That'll be enough to cause a problem. You know. Sometimes people. Let me give you an example. Sometimes this happens where someone is going to break their fast with something haram, right? And in order to not break their fast with something haram, right? What they do is they will. Go to and eat something that's halal first and then commit that haram act, you know? In these cases, the fact that you have the intention to break your fast is might cause a problem. You don't have to necessarily eat something. Let me get into the details now for that. If a person, we have two types of breaking your fast through breaking your intention. Sometimes you have the intention of not fasting anymore. Okay, we're going to cover that first. And sometimes, no, you don't have the intention to not be fasting anymore. You have the intention of doing one of those invalidators of the fast, you know? Although you know this is going to break your fast too, but it's not your intention that, okay, I'm not fasting. From this moment on, I'm not fasting anymore. Or from this moment on, I don't know, should I be fasting or not anymore? Sometimes you're not sure if you should fast anymore. We'll cover that as well. Sometimes, no. Sometimes, since I'm an old schooler, sometimes you're passing by 7-Eleven, you're like, you know what? It's the month of Ramadan. I'm not in the mood of fasting. You know, it's hot outside. Let me just go grab a Slurpee. The Coke flavor, right? Who drinks the cherry flavor? I don't know. I don't know, whatever the flavors are out there. Do they still have them or not? You can tell me. The pop soda, whatever flavor it is. Let me just go have that Slurpee. And they have an intention to actually drink a Slurpee, okay? To drink something or eat something. That's a second scenario. Let's cover both of them. He says, Abbas drinks cherry, Sister Sakina. Okay, that's good to know. Okay, Sister Amna Kazmi has a question. Let me address it now before I get into breaking our fast through our intention and breaking our intention. Because once I get into that, it'll go for a while and then I'll forget to get back to her maybe. She asks a little different than what we've covered. If you wake up and you need to do ghusl, but you don't have enough time to eat and do ghusl, good question, sister, good question. Are you allowed to eat and do tayammum in place of ghusl and then do ghusl after fajr? You would have time to do ghusl if you don't eat though. That is a wonderful question, sister. Thank you. All right. And I didn't cover this last time. This will come up sometimes. That I wake up, I have to do ghusl, but I have time for either ghusl or suhoor. Not both. And so the sister, mashallah, she's smart. She says, it shows that you have a fiqhi mind, you know. That, you know, let me just eat enough so that I reach a point where I don't have time for a ghusl anymore and then I do tayammum instead. Because when you don't have time for a ghusl, you have to do tayammum, right? That's a good question, sister. That's a very good question. I think my understanding, my fiqhi senses are telling me that you will have sinned for sure. Yes, you will have sinned for sure. Because no, if you have time for a ghusl or suhoor, you have to go with the ghusl, not the suhoor. Even if you know it's going to get hard on you throughout the day. Throughout the day, if it gets hard on you to the extent that you just can't bear it, you can break it then, right? But if a person, let's just say, eats until they don't have time for ghusl anymore, then they have sinned for sure by not doing ghusl. If they do tayammum, this is the part that I'm not sure about that I will have to check. They will, their fast seems to be valid. Okay, and I'll tell you what I'm basing this understanding off of. It seems that their fast will be valid because they don't have enough time at the end of the day. And they're entering the day in a state of janaba. They have to do ghusl, they don't have time for it, so they're going to do tayammum. Although they put themselves in this situation. Okay? So, my understanding is that it seems that it would be valid, but I have to make sure. What am I basing my judgment on? I'm basing it on a situation where in outside of the month of Ramadan, a person Fajr time has arrived and Fajr time has passed and the sun is rising. Now this person has 30 minutes left till sunrise. Okay, they have time for wudu, but they just put Fajr time off so much that they don't have any time anymore for wudu. Okay, in a case like this, they say, this person has sinned because they have purposely allowed time to pass to the extent that they don't have time for wudu anymore. And so what do? They have to do tayammum now. So that person has to do tayammum. Their salat will be valid, but they've sinned because of allowing such a thing to happen. I'm just basing my understanding and the verdict that I'm giving now, I'm basing it on something like that, sister. But once again, I'm not 100% sure. I have to check that. That's a very good question. Let me write that down. Hopefully I can find the answer. I have not seen it addressed in the books. Okay. Brother Ali Abadi again, using your wife's laptop again. I mean, you had 2 days to charge your phone's battery, right? When your battery died 2 days ago and you were using your wife's account, and yet you're still using her account. Okay. Hadi Rizvi says, do you have to complete the ghusl or is it enough to have started it? I think I said this before, you have to finish your ghusl, because the problem is that you're not supposed to enter the day in a state of janaba. If you're halfway through your ghusl, you're still in a state of janaba. The state of janaba ends when you end your ghusl. Okay? Bilal Master, thank you for your comment. Ali Rizvi, thank you for your feedback. Alright, let's move on. Wonderful. Alhamdulillah. Bilal Master, we missed you. You've been out for a while. Congratulations on your graduation. All right, as you all probably can see, I know a lot of the guys that are coming online, and since they don't get a chance to, you know, I can't give them time outside of Facebook Live in our center and so on. They find it, you know, very convenient to get my attention here. All right, good for them. Let's move on. Let's move on. All right, so breaking your intention, the intention of fasting. Okay, someone has the intention; they're fasting in the month of Ramadan, and then all of a sudden they either have the intention to just not be fasting anymore. They're just like, I don't know, you know what? I just don't want to fast anymore. Today, I'm not fasting. Or no, they don't have that intention. They have the intention to have one of those invalidators of the fast. So these are two scenarios we need to cover. Let's see if there's a different ruling or they have the same ruling. Ayatollah Sistani says, he says that if you just don't have the intention to fast anymore, you don't have the intention to fast anymore, or you aren't sure, should I fast, should I not fast? The word here is, that person is muraddad. Muraddad means you're just uncertain anymore. You're not certain anymore that you want to fast. You're uncertain, should I not? He says, in these cases, if, agar pas az chenin qasd ya tardidi dobare niyat rooze nakunad, if this person doesn't change their intention back to fasting again, yeah, then, and they haven't had any of those invalidators, ihtiyat wajib is that they end that day in fasting and also make that day up. Wow, I don't know how many of us knew that. Now, of course, there are sometimes cases where this person, you know, like, I don't know, feels like something might be an invalidator of the fast, and they've committed that thing, they've done that thing. For example, a person goes swimming in the day, okay? And then they're like, oh my God, I swam. But I've heard some maraja say swimming, like dunking your head in water, immersing your head underwater when you're fasting breaks the fast, but I've heard others say it doesn't break the fast. Oh my God, is my fast void or not? This person's not sure, are they fasting anymore or not? You know, that kind of thing happens. Ayatollah Sistani says, that's not what I'm talking about when I say you're not sure if you're fasting anymore or not. So guys, don't worry about that. Usually if we're not sure if we're fasting or not, it's due to these reasons. No, he says, if you're not sure you're going to fast anymore, meaning that, you know, you're just sitting there, you're like, you know what, maybe I shouldn't fast today. You know, I'm so angry at, I don't know, so-and-so, or I'm so angry at God, astaghfirullah, that, you know, maybe I shouldn't even fast today. That's what he's talking about. Not an uncertainty that owes to, you know, me not knowing a certain ruling, so now I'm not sure whether I'm fasting or not. You know, that kind of thing. I hope that's clear. Akbar Sajjad, good question. You asking me, Shaykh, this is different from the situations where you feel like not breaking your fast might negatively affect your health, right? Yeah. So like, for example, you're sitting there, you're like, oh my God, I'm under so much pressure. The fast is really killing me right now. Maybe I should break it. Should I not? Should I reach that point, you know, that breaking point where Islam allows me to break my fast? Have I not? When you're, you know, contemplating these things, that's not, I don't think that's what it's talking about, brothers and sisters. Let me read this question real quick. Yeah, Hadi Rizzi, thank you for sharing that that istiftah with me. That istiftah is more general though. I'm looking for, if you can find this for me, actually I appreciate it now that you're, you know, volunteering to help out. I'm looking for a person who عمدن تأخیر بندازه تا وقتی که تیمم فقط میتونه انجام بده. Right? That's what I'm looking for. This is general. Oh, sorry. Sorry, Hadi Rizvi. I'm sorry. I'm reading it again. It's exactly what we were looking for. Thank you, Hadi Rizvi. Thank you, and sorry, people. Sorry, Hadi, for me questioning you. I'm sorry. Hadi Rizvi is a very good friend of mine. Follow him, actually, on... I don't know what social media he has, Hadi Rizvi, but I do know he has Facebook and Instagram. And mashallah, he has some awesome posts that are very beneficial. Sometimes they go a little too deep and technical, but... there's some good stuff that he has to share. He's been in Hawza for a long time, and may Allah give him tawfiq. Alright, so now brother Ali Abidi, who is using his wife's account, you got your answer. There's your answer. If you purposely put off ghusl janabat until you have no time to do ghusl, you do tayammum and your fast is valid. But as I said, you have probably sinned. Alright, so we covered that first scenario. If a person just has the intention that he's not fasting, I'm not going to be fasting anymore. Or, you know what, maybe I shouldn't fast today. You know, it's 10 a.m., I just don't feel like fasting, maybe I shouldn't fast. Now let's talk about a person who, no, they're fasting, and maybe they love fasting, but you know, they love the Slurpee more. They love that fudge sundae more, subhanallah. You know, I can go on right now, giving you different examples. Not ruhafza. Like, I'd rather fast than have ruhafza, okay? So this person is like, you know, that sandwich looks very good. It's halal too, you know, that kind of thing. Should I have it? Should I not have it? You know what? I'm going to have that sandwich. What happens in this situation? And he wants to go for the sandwich. And then he's like, no, wait a minute, man. Come on, like 60 days of fasting I have to make up for this one day as kafara? No, it's not worth it. You know what? I'm not going to have that sandwich. But this might cause a problem. Let's see what Ayatollah Sistani says. He says, if a person has the intention to do one of the muftarat, and they know that this is a muftarat, this is one of the invalidators of the fast. So that's a condition, okay? Or says, maybe I should have it, maybe I should not have it. You know, maybe I should break my fast with it, maybe I shouldn't break my fast with it. He says, if that person changes their mind back and regrets this, and in the meantime has not had an invalidator, ihtiyat wajib, continue that day fasting, and also make the qaza of that day up. Right? So that's also something that we have. But if a person, so there's a condition here. I'm going to explain this a little more, elaborate on it. If a person doesn't know that this is an invalidator of the fast, or isn't paying attention to the fact that this is an invalidator of the fast, in that situation, I don't think that this ruling will hold. Brother Shuja asks, why does the fast become invalidated if you travel? That's a question, inshallah, to ask the Ahlul Bayt. Because the Ahlul Bayt have told us that you cannot, and the Prophet has said that you cannot travel, that one of the conditions for the fast being valid is that you're not traveling. And that's why our Marajah say it, because the Ahadith say it. As a matter of fact, we have in the Quran as well a verse that talks about this. The wording in that verse is interesting though. I'm not going to get into that. That's fiqh. That's actual jurisprudence. We just follow our maraja and what they say based on the hadiths and the reliable hadiths we have, and that's what the imams are telling us through the reliable hadiths. Asad Hussein asks, what about a qada fast? You have the intention to fast at 10 a.m. You're like, I think I'm going to go eat breakfast, and then a few minutes later you change your mind and decide, no, I think I'll just fast. Does the same apply? All this occurs before dhuhr. Excellent question. The answer is right here. He says, Ayatollah Sistani, sometimes, so far what we covered regarding this intention and change of intention, that had to do with wajib fasts that are mu'ayyan, okay, that you have, you can't do that fast on another day. Like, for example, today is the 11th, I think, of the month of Ramadan, if I'm not mistaken, for us. You can't make you can't the 11 the fast of the 11th of the month of Ramadan happens on only the 11th of Ramadan, duh. Right? You can't be like, I'm gonna do the 11th of Ramadan on a day other than the 11th. Well, that's not gonna be the 11th anymore. Anyway, the fasts that have a specific day that are wajib, that's what we covered so far regarding changing our intention. Now, let's get into Asad's question. What if I'm doing a wajib fast, but it's not a mu'ayyan wajib fast? It's not a fast that has a specific day that it has to happen on, either through nadr or through being the month of Ramadan, and so on. He says, to the Sistani here, he says, like kafara, like the qada of the month of Ramadan, if the person before adhan al-dhuhr, the time for dhuhr, makes the intention that they're not going to be fasting anymore, or becomes uncertain should they fast or not, or has the intention to go and have a Slurpee, have one of the invalidators of the fast, and knows that it's one of the invalidators of the fast, is paying attention to this fact, or becomes uncertain should I have an invalidator or not. If this person before Dhuhr time changes their intention back to fasting mode, then they're good. Yeah. As long, of course, they haven't had the Slurpee, right? So you can't be like, should I have the Slurpee or not? Let me have the Slurpee at 10 a.m. They have the Slurpee, and then 11 a.m. they're like, okay, now I'm going to change my intention back to fasting. That's not how fasting works. Unless you're like, maybe like, not baligh, and you're just practicing to fast. Okay, so that's everything regarding the intention of the fast. We also have Yawm al-Shakk and the intention pertaining to Yawm al-Shakk. But since I've already covered this on the in the first session we had with Mizan Live, brothers and sisters, you can go to that and to that session and just learn about this intention of Yawm al-Shakk there. All right, we don't have any other questions so far. I want to discuss a question that someone asked me. Actually, a lot of people asked me. I'm surprised. Now, I might get in trouble for covering this with some parents, but I mean, since it's being asked, some people ask, is it an invalidator of the fast to watch movies in the holy month of Ramadan? Can of worms has been opened. Sheikh Amin, get ready to get in trouble. But I have to cover it. Watching movies in the month of Ramadan, I don't know. Sheikh Mahdi covered the invalidators, right, brothers and sisters? He covered all the invalidators except a couple that I covered. I don't know. It wasn't in the list of invalidators. Watching movies was not in the list of invalidators. Now, sometimes the movie is a movie that, is haram to watch for you. You're missing out on the point of the month of Ramadan and the fast of Ramadan, watching something haram. Don't do that. Don't do that. But sometimes the movie's not haram. Can I watch it or not? The answer is yes, you can. I mean, it's not one of the invalidators. Some people say it's against the sanctity of the holy month. I don't know. I'm not sure if that's the case or not, brothers and sisters. That might be something that's more cultural. That's more cultural than Islamic. We don't have that in Islamic law, brothers and sisters. Especially with all these cool new Marvel movies coming out, I don't watch them, just saying. I know they're cool though. As a kid growing up, the cartoons were pretty cool. All right, so that's movies. Some people ask about that. Let's move into makruhat, brothers and sisters. Let's see if we can cover makruhat before time is up. All right, so the reason I said before why I want to cover makruhat to begin with is that people sometimes mistake these makruhat for muftirat. They think that some of these makruhat are haram or are invalidators of the fast, okay? Not necessarily anything that's haram is going to invalidate your fast, although, as I said, it goes against the point of the fast. The fast is to give us stronger willpower, and stronger resolve to stay away from haram things, and then now I'm fasting but I'm still committing haram, that defeats the whole purpose really. But at the end of the day, legally speaking, not every haram is an invalidator of the fast. Hadi Rizvi, if I watch movies, people won't pray behind me anymore. Now you're encouraging me to watch movies. I don't know. Actually, I don't have time to watch movies anymore, brothers and sisters. I really don't. Some of you know what my hectic schedule looks like and my life right now, what it looks like. My life right now looks like this. Right, that's what my life looks like right now, my schedule. So I don't have time for movies anymore. Those days are over. لَقَدْ مَضَى وَقْتُ الْأَفْلَامِ. I just made a hadith for myself. The time for film and movies is over for me. So these makruhat sometimes are mistaken for haram or invalidators of fast, brothers and sisters. That's why I want to go through them so that we're all on the same page when it comes to these makruhat and adab of the fast. So he says, Mas'ala 2032 of Risale Jami'. Oh, look at that. Ayman's online. Ayman, when you're online, just, you know, give a shout out from the beginning so I know you're watching. So I come out with more jokes, you know. Number one on the list, Aytla Sistani right here says to immerse your head in water. to immerse your head in water. So for example, just today I think a brother messaged me asking, Sheikh, is it okay for us to go swimming? Aytla Sistani says it is very, very makruh. It doesn't break the fast though, he says. Very makruh. He says, as a matter of fact, ihtiyat mustahab is that you don't do it. But at the end of the day, it's makruh. It's not going to break the fast. It's not a gunah or a sin either if you do that. Immersing your head at once underwater. Does showering, you know, have the same karaha? Is it makruh? No. It doesn't fall under this category of immersing your head. Immersing your head means you dunk your head underwater, you know. You dunk your head underwater. Dunking right now reminds me of tortilla chips that you dunk into dip. You know? Man. Anyway, let's go back. Let's get back to what we're talking about here. So, you can't dunk your head in water in the sense that it's makruh, but not haram. It's not an invalidator. Yes, brothers and sisters, we have other maraja who will have issued a ihtiyat wajib on this, right? And I'm going to cover that now. Muhammad Hussein, you're asking that question, immersing your head underwater according to Ayatollah Khamenei. Good question. Let me just go through the Maraji here, what they say about that. And why some of us think that, you know, it breaks the fast. It's because of most of the other Maraji. Ayatollah Sistani is an exception here, really, regarding this one. He might be the only one who actually says it's makruh and doesn't break your fast. The others, they say that... Let's see what they say. They say here, and So the shower, as I said, I forgot to finish that. When water is flowing on your head from the shower head, that's not dunking or immersing your head in water, brothers and sisters. So that is a total exception from all that. That doesn't hold the same ruling as immersing your head. Just making sure. All right. So what do other marajas say about immersing your head in water? Right? Salam, Sister Samina. They say ihtiyat wajib, that it breaks the fast. In this book, we have Ayatollah Khu'i, Ayatollah Bahjat, Ayatollah Wahid, and Ayatollah Sani'i. They say that no, they have a fatwa that it breaks the fast. Interesting. So for them, it's an invalidator. Ayatollah Khu'i, Ayatollah Bahjat, they've passed away. So out of these four, these two are alive. Ayatollah Wahid and Ayatollah Sana'i, they have a fatwa that it breaks the fast. Ayatollah Sistani here, it says that he says it doesn't break the fast. Ayatollah Shubaydi Zanjani, he has a fatwa that it is a sin to immerse your head in water, but it doesn't break the fast. Ayatollah Shubaydi Zanjani, Allah Yahfadhu. So here, brothers and sisters, you can see this is where this understanding comes from. Most of the maraja, other than the ones that I said, they have ihtiyat wajib, like Ayatollah Khamenei, Imam Khomeini, Ayatollah I don't know, Nuri Hamedani, like who else do we have out there? Maybe Ayatollah Jawadi Amali, I haven't checked that one. They all have ihtiyat wajib. Ihtiyat wajib means you can refer to someone else on this ruling. Ayatollah Sistani allows it. Like, for example, if you're a follower of Ayatollah Khamenei, you can easily refer to Ayatollah Sistani on this ruling. But as I said, it's very makruh according to Ayatollah Sistani and haram according to Ayatollah Shubedi Zanjani. But these two say it doesn't break your fast. Sister Sukana, you're saying maybe I can watch movies on the plane. I don't travel that much anywhere. So, no planes for me. Alright, what was I talking about before I got there? I think that's about it regarding immersing your head in water. I don't think there's anything else I need to elaborate on here. Next one, he says, it says, davorichtan bechesh vasur mekishidan. Okay, so putting drops in your eye, or even, you know, doing kuhul, and you know, in Farsi we say surma, in Urdu they say surma probably. So the surma, this also is makruh if there's an if here, so not all the time. If, he says, the taste or the smell of it reaches your throat, yeah. So sometimes people, Sheikh Mati, I think, has covered this in depth. You can go back to that session that he's covered it. The taste of things is not the thing itself. So if the taste of something gets to your throat, unless there's some substance with it, of course, it doesn't break your fast. It's not a problem. But here he says, if it's eye drops or something, or if it's surma, then it's makruh if you get the taste. And that does happen sometimes. I think the other day a brother had messaged me all the way from Sydney, asking about, I think, an eardrop or an eye drop. He said, I put it and then after a little bit, my throat got like really bitter. The taste of it reached my throat, right? I don't think if you put a drop in your eye, that drop is going to make its way to your throat. Come on. You know, it's usually the taste maybe that'll make it to your throat. He was asking about that. That doesn't break the fast. And if you know from the beginning that this is going to happen and you can avoid it, for example, it's not medicine that you have to take on a certain basis or regularly throughout the day, then it's makruh. Number three, anything that will bring about weakness, anything that brings about weakness and after you do that thing, you know, you feel weaker and it might get harder for you to fast. That is also makruh. So he gives the examples here of drawing blood and donating blood. He even gives the example of taking a shower, you know. Now, taking a shower today is, you know, just like that. You go in, boom, come out, like 10 minutes. Maybe back then, you know, taking a shower, you didn't have showers, that luxury. So people back then, they would have to go to the public, you know, baths out there, and you know, it would go and it was hot and humid in there, and then come, you have somebody that would have, you have to wait in line, and someone had to come and like scrub your back and so on, come back. Like a shower back then might have taken like 2 hours, I don't know. So after that, it's like a workout, it's like cardio. So this person comes out, he's weak, feels weaker, you know. Anything like these things, he says, that will bring about some weakness are also makruh, not break the, it doesn't break the fast. People ask all the time, does donating blood break the fast? No, it doesn't. The needle going in your arm will not break your fast. The blood that comes out of your arm is not going to break the fast, but it's makruh at most. Now, if someone needs that blood, right, and you can't wait till after iftar to give it, you can give it right away. It might even be mustahab or wajib, depending on the case. Brother Akbar says, "Innaka zu ilmin kathirin." No, I'm not zu ilm kathir. Ayatollah Sistani is zu ilm kathir, and he gets it from Ahlul Bayt. So the Ahlul Bayt are zu ilm kathir. Yes, we are just muta'allim. We're just learning from them. Sister Sukaina, hope you're well. Sheikh, what is this ruling if you are able to complete your fast day to day, but overall it has a negative effect on your health results, results in other health problems? Ooh, good question. Very good question. Sometimes illness, you know, happens right away. And like, I know if I fast today, I'm going to get worse. Sometimes I know if I fast the whole month, 2 months later, it's gonna get hurt me. That still counts, brothers and sisters. You're not allowed to fast. It is haram if it's gonna be harmful like that. I know if I fast every day of the 30 days, it's gonna hurt me later, I don't fast. But if I know that like fasting every other day won't cause a problem 2 months from me later, then I have to fast once every other day. Yeah, all of these things play a role, right? Brother Ali Abedi via Sister Amina Kazmi, he's using his wife's account, says, ear canal can drain to throat, so likely eardrop. Ahsant. Thank you. So it's good. Hadi Rizvi is helping me on the fiqhi side of things and bringing up and pulling up istifta'at. Brother Ali Abedi via Amina Kazmi is helping us out when it comes to these things. Actually, I do appreciate y'all's help. Y'all's help. That's not a Texan. A person who lives in Texas would probably say that. I appreciate you all's help. You all's help. I really do. It really helps out a lot. So thank you. I really like how you guys are involved and engaged. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah for these awesome viewers. Let's move on. Let's try to finish this before time runs out. I actually thought today we're going to have like a 30-minute session, but it went on for an hour. He says, drops, nasal drops, same thing. Now sometimes you have to put nasal drops. I mean, it's for a medical condition, whatever. Go ahead. It's not my crew anymore. He says, but you can wait for later, but you want to do it in the daytime. No, it's my crew. He says this if they're not sure it's going to reach their throat. So there's an if here. Again, there is an if here. Who says I'm in Texas? Well, I'm a Texan now. You have to be in Texas to be a Texan, sister. I don't know. Whatever. I don't know what y'all talking about. All right. He says, if you're not sure, is it going to reach my throat? Is it not going to reach my throat? It's makruh. If you know it's going to reach the throat, then it's haram, of course. It's an invalidator. You can't do that. I'm going to let you guys just comment about this Texas thing. You guys can go all out. It's all good. I don't know what y'all are talking about. Number five. Okay, this one's important. Smelling fragrant and scented herbs and plants. Okay? That is also one of the makruhat. Muhammad is saying eye drops are fine though, right? Yeah, I've been saying that for the past 10 minutes. Eye drops are okay, ear drops are okay, nasal drops are okay. They are makruh if they have ifs, they have conditions, but that's all makruh at the end of the day, even if those conditions are met. It's makruh, so it won't be a problem. Ali Reza, salam, is it okay? Wa alaikum assalam, Ali Reza. Is it okay to eat sahar or drink a water till Adhan Fajr or must stop 10 minutes before Adhan? Good question. We covered it in session one, inshallah. Go to session one, all the details are there, because if I get into the details, we'll run out of time. Brother Shadi says, Salam Shaykh. Wa alaikum salam Shadi. Welcome back. You're coming every day, mashallah, that's awesome. Can I suggest people see doctors who are Muslim when getting advice regarding to fast or not due to illness? It is hard for non-Muslims to understand the benefits of fasting. Brother Shadi and others who are watching. It doesn't, and I covered this before as well when we were talking about illness. I said, Ayatollah Sistani does not specify. He says, if a doctor tells you don't, and that's enough to give a little bit of a fear that it's not going to be good for you, then that's it. It doesn't matter if they're Muslim or not. I know they might not know the benefits of fasting, but that's not a condition. At the end of the day, they know that fasting, if you tell them I have to stay away from eating, drinking, and other things, and will that hurt me or not, and will that make my illness work worse or not, that's enough. If you explain that to them and they say, yeah, I think it will, then if that brings a little chance for you and brings a little bit of a fear in you that it will be harmful, then you're not allowed to fast, he says. You're not supposed to fast anymore. That's just how it is. Okay, but yeah, sometimes it might help to go to a Muslim doctor, you know. Anyway, number five here says, of the makruhat, smelling, one of these plants that have a scent to them, that have a fragrance to them. Here it says mu'attar. Mu'attar means that has a fragrance to it. Like flowers. Like herbs, certain herbs, you know. But then he says, right there he says, because he knows how people think sometimes, he says, but using itr and tib, you know, good, fragrances, I don't know, whether it's itr, whether it's cologne, whatever it is, these don't break the fast, these are not makruh at all. As a matter of fact, let me read a hadith for you, brothers and sisters, about how a person who's fasting, how it might be mustahab for them even to use itr, or use anything that smells good. Tib, not itr, tib. Tib means anything that smells good. It says here in this hadith, it says, Kana Abu Abdullah alayhi salam, Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, he would, when he was fasting, إِذَا صَامْ يَتَطَيَّبْ بِالطِّيبِ. When he would fast, he would use good fragrances. وَيَقُولْ الطِّيبْ تُحْفَةُ الصَّائِمِ. The tib is the tuhfa, you know, is the like souvenir or is the gift of the one fasting. Yeah? Or else, you know, that bad breath will come. As was pointed out before by Sheikh Mehdi, the angels and Allah, the smell they hear from us, they smell, the smell that comes from our mouth for them is something very scented in Jannah. But for the people here, no. So you can use cologne. You can use all of that. It's not even makruh, brothers and sisters. Please, we have to pay attention to this. And so Brother Akbar Rizvi right now asked, and when I was reading the hadith, I was like, let's see if anyone asks this. He says, so pure alcohol is pak? According to Ayatollah Sistani, he says, yes. So colognes that have alcohol or ethanol in them, those are pak, according to Ayatollah Sistani. You can use them. And even those who follow Ayatollah Khamenei, he has an ihtiyat wajib there, so they can refer to Ayatollah Sistani even. Oh, salam, Brother Hassan Roshandel. It's been a long time. Thanks for tuning in. You're lucky to be able to hang out with Brother Hadi there in London. All right, so Muhammad Hussein, you're saying, is it because it's in the Sunnah of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt to wear a good fragrance? I just read you the hadith. If that hadith is a reliable one in Wasa'il al-Shia, then what that hadith is saying is that كان يتطيب. That was his thing. He used to do that when he was fasting. It was his everyday thing that he would wear a good fragrance. Alright, number 6. I know I've gone over my time a little bit, but let's finish these makruhat. Number 6 is for a female to sit in water when they're fasting. Number 7, to use here, he says shiaf. Shiaf, if you remember, we covered enemas, and we said inserting liquid into the jawf through the backside, that is a muftir, that's an invalidator. That was a liquid, but there are now, they use these solid things sometimes if for, I think they're anti-inflammatory. Once again, Ali Abadi, if you can correct me if I'm wrong, or Brother Akbar Rizvi as well, anyone else who might know, they use this thing called shiaf in Iran. I know the Farsi for it, I mean. It's like, it's someone who's like very in a very bad situation, they will insert that. To use that when it's not necessary, of course, is makruh. It's solid though, it's not liquid. Oh, suppositories. Man, I love this, what is this called? Facebook Live thing? Like, you get all these awesome people that come and tune in, and like, we work as a team. Like, we work together as a team. We help each other out, figure things out, you know, and learn stuff together. Thank you, Brother Akbar, for that. So that's makruh if it's not necessary, of course. If it's makruh, you know, if it's necessary, then it's not makruh for sure. Number 8 is to wet your clothing that you're wearing, right? So no, it doesn't mean, oh, it's makruh for you to wash your clothes. No, no, while you're wearing it, to wet your clothing. That's makruh. To pull a tooth or do anything that causes the mouth to bleed in the month of Ramadan is makruh, not haram. Or is not an invalidator either. So people who ask, can we go to the dentist? Yes, you can go to the dentist, especially if you have a toothache. Especially if If you lose that appointment, you're going to have to wait another 2 months for another appointment. Yeah? So in those cases, go ahead. You can go to the dentist. It doesn't break your fast. Just be careful that nothing goes down your throat of all the stuff that's happening and coming out of your mouth or being sprayed into your mouth. Yeah? And you can let the dentist know that, hey, I'm fasting religiously. I can't let anything go down my throat. Put that suction thing really close to where the water is and the spray is happening so that, I don't swallow anything. All right, Hassan, good to know. Number 10, miswak. Doing miswak with, those special, no one does it anymore anyway, usually, at least in the Shia school, I don't see too many people using this miswak, the miswak, that twig or that little branch that, you cut the top and then it turns into like a brush type thing and you use it. To wet that and use it is makruh. Number 11, so once again, brushing your teeth, is it makruh or not? It won't be makruh because of this one, because this one is talking about those branches or twigs, those miswaks that are used. Wetting that, using a wet one of those is makruh. So brushing your teeth with a toothbrush doesn't fall under this category, brothers and sisters. We don't want to do qiyas, it's called. Oh, brother or sister, I don't know, Isna Chaudhary is saying, I'm not sure you're getting my questions or not. I don't know. This is the first time I'm seeing you. So no, I'm not getting your questions. Unless you're sending them to the Mizan Institute inbox, which those who are responsible for that will get back to you there. I don't know. I don't know where you're sending your questions. Brother Muhammad Hussein asks a good question. He says, won't the miswak get wet from your saliva though? Yeah, it will. But here it says, no, wetting it, wetting it, using a wet one for your mouth. That means, that implies that you wet it and then put it in your mouth. Yeah? Or else, of course, duh, it's going to get saliva on it. In that case, using it all the time will be makruh, when you're fasting. No. What it implies is that you wet it from an outside water source and use it. Or else you have to, use it, take it, throw it away, use another one. Like, brushing your teeth will take, 10 miswaks, You don't, that's like, yeah, that's going to be israf. Number 11, to just out of, for no reason, to put water or any other liquid in your mouth. Like, you're fasting, bro. Why would you, just for no reason put water in your mouth? You're like, hey, people, I'm fasting. Watch me put water in my mouth. Like, okay, that's makruh. Number 12, or like orange juice in my mouth, something like that, for no reason. Number 12, to do anything that arouses oneself. Now, sometimes that's going to be haram, but even if it's in a halal way, right? Still, you're not supposed to arouse yourself. What are you trying to do? Like, okay, it's your spouse, fine, but in the daytime, you can't go all the way, So, it's makruh to do anything that arouses one's shahwah, they say, one's lust and so on. Alright, so that's the makruhat that Ayatollah Sistani has here. There are a lot of hadiths we have about the adab and mustahabbat of the fast. But for some weird reason, in the books of fatwa, the fatwa books, like Minha, like Urwa, I show my books every day, right? Because that's what it's all about. It's all about books, brothers and sisters. We go to the books, mashallah, alhamdulillah. And this is a culture that's growing, spreading. Books, learning about what the books are and which ones are more reliable out there from our ulama. Yeah, so in the books, when you go in the books, you don't find any chapter that says these are the mustahabbat of fasting. I don't know why they haven't covered the mustahabbat. Like in Mafatih al-Janan, I think there will be a chapter there, but we're not a muqallid and, of Sheikh Abbas Qummi, right? So if he says it's mustahab, you can do it raja'an, with the intention of inshallah it's going to be mustahab, but you can't have the definite intention of mustahab there, right? Anyway, we have lots of hadiths about, how to wake up for suhoor, to have like water in suhoor, how to do iftar, how, all of those things. There's flexibility, you can do all of those with the intention of raja, but in the fatwa books, I couldn't find it in Urwa, I couldn't find it in Minhaj. This has always been a question for me that, hey, why don't they cover the mustahabbat of the fast as well? Sister Homa Raza asks, Salam, what are the consequences of a makruh fast? Good question, sister. Sometimes, you know, we'll take things as, you know, clear and not even go over like what happens because we think it's clear, and that's wrong. So I apologize on my part. I mean, yeah, we need to get into all these details. What happens if you do something makruh in your fast? She says, do we need to do istighfar or ihtiyat? No, sister. It's just makruh means Allah doesn't like it too much. That's all. Maybe if you were going to get 1,000 rewards for your fast, now you're going to get 999 rewards for your fast. Maybe, I'm saying. Not even that much, maybe. I don't know. So makruh won't affect your fast in any way when it comes to doing ihtiyat. And it won't affect you in any way that you have to do istighfar. Unless you're a super spiritual individual who doesn't even want to commit makruhat and does istighfar of makruhat. And that's not for us, brothers and sisters. That's for the Ayatollah Bahjat. It's not for me and you. For now, inshallah, if we get our wajib and haram straight, I think we're good to go. Inshallah. Assalamu alaikum. Sister Zainab Abedin asks, reading the Quran in Hayd is makruh. Please explain, is it better to read few ayahs only or reading more is better? Oh my God, what a good question. I've asked this question in the past. There are ibadat, in the past, meaning back in the years in Qom, I had asked this, that there are ibadat that we have. In ibadat, sometimes something is makruh. So the question comes up, what does that mean? An ibadah is makruh. Is it an ibadah still if it's going to be makruh? How can an ibadah be makruh? For example, she's asking, it's makruh to recite Quran in Hayd, she says. Right? What does that mean? Does that mean it's better to read less verses? Or no, we should do more verses? The answer is, it depends on the case, brothers and sisters. Sometimes, if it is said that this ibadah is makruh, that means not doing it is better than doing it. Sometimes, an ibadah being makruh means that doing it is better than not doing it still, but it has less rewards. Let me give you an example. And there might be a difference of opinion amongst Maraji here as well. So for example, with Ayatollah Khamenei, we all know that this, we all know about how it's makruh, not impermissible, but makruh for someone who is a traveler and is praying qasr to follow someone who's praying full, and vice versa. For someone who's praying full to follow someone who's praying qasr. They say it's makruh. A lot of people, of course, think it's not allowed. No, it's allowed. It's allowed, brothers and sisters. I've been in some weird situations sometimes where someone thought it's not allowed. And they're like, oh, you shouldn't be leading the salat because yours is qasr or something. I'm like, hey, I have no problem, but would you like to lead and me follow you as a sheikh? You know? Anyway, there have been some awkward situations like that. But it's allowed. It's allowed, but it's makruh, they say. At least I've seen in some marajat, they say it's makruh. Question, what does makruh mean here? When you ask, they say, that means it has less rewards than a person who was praying full, following a person who's praying full. In other words, if there are two jama'ats happening, one by someone who's leading who is praying qasr, and another one who's praying full, and my salat happens to be full, it's better for me to choose which one? The imam that's praying full. That's what makruh means here. So this one has less rewards for you than that one. But sometimes an ibadah is makruh. Being makruh means that no. Here the sharia, the shari', Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or whoever, they don't want this ibadah at all. So for example, the question that Sister Zainab asked. For example, a ha'id woman, it is makruh for her to recite Qur'an. It's makruh for her. I've asked this, they said what is meant here is that Allah, it's better for them not to recite at all. Or if they're going to recite less or more, to do less. That's what makruh means in this context. Brother Hassan Roshandel, Hassan John, if you can send that question in to the inbox of Mislan. Inshallah, we'll do the research for that. There are some details there. I don't have time to answer your question now. Or you can wait until we meet up again someday in the future. We'll talk about it. But no, send your question and then so that we don't forget to answer it, and then we'll answer it once we get the chance. In a nutshell though, based on ihtiyat, usually in these cases, Asan, let me answer you right now. In the case that you're asking, that you know you have to do ihtiyat between full and qasr, I'm pretty sure that also you have to do ihtiyat when it comes to fast. You have to fast and you have to make that day up later as well, probably. Alright, thank you all for tuning in. I know I went over my time, but you guys had a lot of questions, so I just wanted to make sure we answer all of them. Inshallah, you know, share the video if you feel that others have these questions and they can benefit from it. And inshallah, see you guys next time. Next time, what I want to start covering, inshallah, is the fidya / kafara. That is something big that lots of people have been asking for. Inshallah, I'm gonna try my best to start that in our next session. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.